This is a new installment of Flamenco Today,
a series of podcasts created by Margaret Hova
and José Luis Greco, which are associated with the Spanish Dance and Flamenco Choreography Competition and are available on our website, certamenflamenco.com.
And on my YouTube channel, as well as other podcast platforms.
Our idea is to interview renowned and upcoming performers and choreographers,
as well as musicians and composers of the Spanish dance world.
For this installment, we've had the opportunity of interviewing Antonio Najarro, former director of the Ballet Nacional de España. He has his own company and has had a very interesting trajectory as a choreographer, and also has won various awards over the years in different moments of his career in the certamen de coreografía de danza española y flamenco.
Antonio, during his mandate as director of the Ballet Nacional de España, commissioned a number of composers to write original music for his choreographies. We have asked him to supply some of those musics so that you can hear a bit of them, as well as his own words.
Pues bueno, soy Antonio Najarro, bailarín y coreógrafo. Y a ver, mi relación con la danza comenzó de una manera bastante circunstancial.
I'm Antonio Najarro, dancer, choreographer. My relationship with the dance began in a rather circumstantial manner. My family is from Málaga, and the Málaga Fair happens every August. In mid-August, we'd go from Madrid, where we lived. I was born in Madrid. But for all the holidays, Easter and Christmas, we always went to Málaga with my whole extended family, cousins, uncles and aunts, etc. I was a very introverted boy, very shy, unable to look at anyone in the eye. I was around 5 or 6. When I was 6, my cousins took me to the Málaga Fair. With them, I discovered, more or less, the aesthetic, visual atmosphere, and that really interested me. The men dressed up in flamenco outfits, the women on horseback, the guitars, percussion, tambourines, the very typical hats called los tontos, which have mirrors on them. They sing the verdiales with violins, and it's a world which fascinated me. First of all, aesthetically, and I felt something very special as a 6-year-old. I saw that my family danced sevillanas, verdiales, malagueñas, and I felt tremendously comfortable in that atmosphere.
Muy especial en ese momento, con 6 años. Veía que mi familia bailaban sevillanas, bailaban verdiales, bailaban malagueñas, y me sentí súper cómodo.
They enrolled me in a private school in Madrid, which was close to our home. I learned a little. It was when they did freestanding exams and private schools could present students to the conservatories. But they were freestanding exams prepared at the school but held in the conservatory. I took the first and second level exams, and then I discovered what it meant to study classical ballet. Actually, I thought that it was all more freeform, but as I began to get into the world of discipline, I realized I enjoyed it a lot.
Y me gustaba mucho.
My parents obliged me to get very good grades in school, otherwise they'd take me out of the conservatory. I must admit that it was a time when I didn't particularly like studying academic studies, but I had no other option if I wanted to continue at the conservatory. It was a difficult time for me. I studied very hard, but what I really wanted to do was dance, dance, and dance.
Yo quería bailar, bailar, bailar.
Antonio, tell us about your first experiences as a professional.
Rafael Aguilar,
who was one of the great choreographers of that time. I think he was the choreographer that provided the most work opportunities to those of us in the Spanish dance world. Besides, I see him as a visionary artist, someone who included in his choreographies elements that were very avant-garde for the time, with his ballets Carmen, Yerma. He provided work for a lot of people, and his vision was very avant-garde for the time. So he was looking for male dancers, and one day he came to the conservatory. He He saw me and asked the conservatory if I could go rehearse with him. He was going to do a tour in Austria with the opera Carmen. It was to be in Bregenz, where the stage is spectacular, a stage they set up above a lake, quite astonishing, a super production. I think there were something like 300 artists on stage, chorus, horses, animals of all kinds, and my parents allowed me to go. I was 15 years old. It was my first professional job.
Fue mi primer trabajo profesional. Donde realmente me decliné por mi tendencia sexual.
It's also when I definitively accepted my sexual orientation. That first tour was quite an upheaval in my life. I discovered what it meant to be a member of a company, how straight people relate to gay people. In the conservatory, it was rather hidden and infantile. But now it was dealt with in a more mature manner. So I returned from that tour with a lot of notions, artistic and sentimental notions. And it was a very important step in my life.
Y fue pues un paso muy importante en mi vida.
Antonio, and your first steps as a very young 15-year-old choreographer in the conservatory?
I made the other dancers, who were from the conservatory, show up at 7:30 in the morning, and I made choreographies for this competition. It was going to be in a cultural center whose name I don't remember, and I choreographed a piece using Ravel's Bolero, recordings of Camarón. So in that hour and a half before starting, I choreographed the thing. I felt really at home creating, and I had dancers who understood what I wanted.
Y tenía bailarines que me seguían, y además hoy en día.
And then you went on to work with José Antonio. Tell us about that.
Pero al mismo tiempo era muy observador de cuál era su mecánica.
But at the same time, I watched very closely the way the mechanics of José Antonio's direction and choreography. I watched it very, very closely. I always felt the most affinity with José Antonio for his versatility, his elegance in everything he did. He's a perfectionist in every way. Concerning music, wardrobe, his conception of staging, how to present a show. Always concerned with the excellence of the dancing as opposed to its impact. I've always considered him to be very wise concerning these things. It was something that always caught my attention, the way he made sure that we were dressed impeccably, that our shoes were perfectly polished, the way we should enter the stage. In all of that, he's the one who most influenced me in a global vision of the dance and with which I felt the most affinity.
En una visión general de la danza con la que yo más me he sentido identificado.
Then you joined the Ballet Nacional, no?
Pero esto es importante también para mí porque el sueño.
But this too is important because the dream of joining the Ballet Nacional after being a first dancer with José Antonio was such a disappointment. It was such a shock. In the company at the time were Aida Gómez, she was not a regular member but rather showed up on occasion, Lola Greco, Francisco Velasco, Antonio Márquez, I think showed up as invited artists sometimes. There were important artists in the company. So I joined the company and of course I was the lowest of the low.
La estructura del Ballet Nacional, lo que era para nosotros el Ballet Nacional de España, pues entré y claro, era el último mono. Ahí justo un mes después de entrar,
Exactly a month after joining the company, we went on tour to Japan for a month and a half, almost 2 months. One ballet I was in was called La Gitanilla, choreographed by José Granero, in which there was a scene with a Holy Week procession. The other one was Ravel's Bolero, in which I made a brief 2-minute appearance. And in La Gitanilla, I carried a cross from one side of the stage to the other during the procession with a hood over my head. That's all I did during a month and a half.
En el paso de Semana Santa, de un lado para otro, sacar la cruz y meterme. Eso era lo que hacía durante un mes y medio. Entró como una apisonadora.
So Aida Gómez took over the company like a steamroller, with everything that implies. So at the time I was practicing and rehearsing like crazy, and she took notice of me. She named me soloist within a year and first dancer the next year. Well, personally, my main motivation every day was to work. There were, of course, some dancers that weren't happy with Aida because of her ways, her procedures, whatever. But I went my own way. It was a very convulsive time in the company. Denunciations, press coverage, etc. I didn't get involved, neither for nor against. My mission was to work. My position as a first dancer, thanks to her, was a very good one. I danced in all the ballets as a first dancer. She came to the certamen de coreografía, something I'll talk more about later, and saw me win the first prize with a piece called Nereidas. She then added Nereidas to the repertoire of the Ballet Nacional. For me, that was a tremendous step forward in my career. A choreography of mine premiered in Seville's Teatro de la Maestranza when I was just 24. That was, of course, marvelous for me.
So then you were working as the prime role in Fuente Ovejuna, one of Antonio Gades's masterpieces. And then there was a new director of the Ballet Nacional, and there were some changes, no?
Pero bueno, a un grupo de personas muy concreta no nos.
So then there was a certain group of us for whom they didn't renew our contracts. What hurt me at the time was that the new direction, Elvira Andrés, wouldn't meet with me to tell me why my contract wasn't being renewed. I asked to meet with the new director, and she finally told me that I just didn't fit in with her projects. So they didn't renew my contract with the Ballet Nacional. A lot of people think I chose to leave to form my own company, but it was the best thing that could have happened to me, because it was then that I decided to form my own company. I said, okay, I'm out of the Ballet Nacional, so I'm going to start my own company. So I created a choreography with a small group, and we'd been invited to present a piece in the certamen as guest company. It was Viejos Aires by Fernando Ezgozcue. It was the music. I choreographed a pas de deux with Alonia Alonso, and that was the beginning of my company. What we did was very well received. I felt, especially because of the audience's reaction, that this could work. We were 12 dancers and 5 musicians playing live. Antonio, so after enjoying success with your own company for several years, you decided to present a project to compete for the place of director of the Ballet Nacional, no?
Y empecé a dirigir el Ballet Nacional de España.
So I started as director of the Ballet Nacional de España. It was not really strange for me because I knew the company and its structure very well. I inherited the corps de ballet from José Antonio's time, with which I worked a whole year until premiering my first show with them. It had 2 parts, Sevilla and Ángeles Caídos. For Ángeles Caídos, I invited Rocío Molina as choreographer and dancer, Olga Pericet as choreographer and dancer, Rubén Olmo as dancer and choreographer, Rafaela Carrasco as choreographer, Javier La Torre and Manuel Viñán as choreographers.
Rafaela Carrasco como coreógrafa, Javier La Torre como coreógrafo y Manuel Viñán como coreógrafo. partir de ahí, pues bueno, comencé mi periodo de años de 5 años que se prorrogó a 8, basado en...
So my tenure as director, a 5-year contract which turned into 8 years, began with the premise of giving the company more visibility. There were some projects more successful than others. I recuperated 50% of the Spanish dance repertoire. The other 50% was newly created works. I invited about 40 choreographers and dancers from outside the company to collaborate, composers who were not necessarily involved with Spanish dance, fashion designers, and above all, I instituted a lot of parallel activities.
Y sobre todo he hecho muchas actividades paralelas a lo que es la mera representación en una escena.
What were some of the most significant pieces you did for the Ballet Nacional?
Yo creo que Sorolla marcó un punto muy importante.
I think Sorolla was a watershed moment for the Ballet Nacional. To show the richness of Spanish folklore dance, which all the folklore guilds and associations had been nagging me to include. But it's important. Look, it's easy to sit comfortably at home and defend folklore music and dance and say, why doesn't the Ballet Nacional include folklore in its repertoire? It's the obligation of a national company. And my vision, as an empresario, or although I'm the artistic director of the Ballet Nacional, I have to have a business outlook as well. I can't sit back and say, the Ballet Nacional sells itself. So I thought, what can I do to get the public, especially the young audiences, which is my main focus now, to come and see a Jota Aragonesa? How do I sell this idea? What kind of publicity do I give it? How do I package it so as to get people interested? It's completely unknown. So the moment I want to mount a show with a large percentage of folklore, my first preoccupation is not that I have to get the best choreographer or that my dancers have to take a course in folklore dancing to be in shape. The music should be just so... No. My first obsession is how do I sell this to a national audience, to an international promoter, a show based on folklore dancing? How do I do it? How do I package it? What should the poster design be? What creators from other areas can I call so that the audience that recognizes those creators will take note? That's my first worry. And with Sorolla, this worked very well.
Y Sorolla, pues fue... Sorolla funcionó muy bien. Descubrí la colección Visión de España de Sorolla, que no la conocía aquí. Sí, no la conocía, estaba en la Hispanic
Society. I discovered Sorolla's Vision of Spain collection here. It was in the Hispanic Society of New York, but I saw it when it came here. And I flipped out. My God, this is incredible. It struck me as marvelous, in spite of my long-standing admiration for the painter's use of light and everything, but here we're seeing a 100% representation of Spain, including traditional dances, the festival of bread in Salamanca, the jotas, Galician landscapes, the game of bolos in the Basque country. In other words, he's showing a cross-section of the whole of Spain. So one day I was visiting the exhibition, musing on the light, how to capture those qualities on stage, because to make it seem that the dancers come out of the paintings is not very original. So I contacted Franco Dragone, who founded the Cirque du Soleil. He created many of the first shows. I was able to get a hold of him. He said I should come to Brussels. I said I want to talk to you about a project. I told him a little about it. He's Italian and a lover of Italian folklore. That was a big help.
Eso me, pues me ayudó mucho. Se estuvo haciendo revolcarse por el suelo.
So he came to Madrid to see the company work, and he realized then that the dancers were very versatile. It's what most impressed him, that they played the castanets, they did complex heel work, were adept at contemporary dance moves, expressive, not afraid of anything, and we won him over. So he brought over his creative team for 3 months before the premiere. And while we were working on the choreography, they conceived and created the whole audiovisual concept of the show. The stage design, which was like a white box with a white floor, movable white boxes on the sides, 3 projectors, and on that he chose to create his world, what inspired him, the vision of Spain in the paintings by Sorolla.
Eligió hacer su mundo, lo que a él le inspiró, lo que son las pinturas de la visión de España de Sorolla. Hice el encargo de la música a Juan José Colomer.
I commissioned Juan José Colomer to compose the music. I wanted there to be references to the traditional music of Spain, but also that the musical concept be very global. In other words, my obsession was that it be understood by everyone.
O sea, mi obsesión era que fuera entendible por todo el público. Y otro de los espectáculos que también estoy muy satisfecho es con Electra.
Another one of the choreographies and productions of which I'm very satisfied is Electra. It was also a very risky project because the choreographer, Antonio Ruz, came from contemporary dance. And to put the Ballet Nacional in that position was a risk. At first he wanted to do it alone, but I've always been a stickler for what I know works. So I put in Olga Pericet as a choreographer as well, because the show had to have a Spanish flavor.
Tenía que tener un color español, es que si no era... Y estoy muy satisfecho con esto.
Novia tan bonita, novia tan bonita.
Antonio, another one of your interesting projects was that you were the presenter and the promoter and director of a series that was on Spanish public television on dance. Tell us about it.
Estuve cinco años dando la guerra.
I had been after Spanish television for 5 years. I mean, there was a program dedicated to opera, one on music, another on film, even one on theater. And it had been 15 years since there was a program dedicated to dance. I mean, a serious program that would show what was happening in the world of dance and that would give visibility to the dancers and creators.
Visibilidad a los artistas, a los creadores.
Well, I know that Antonio is noted for being an excellent castanet player, and I asked him if he could give us just a little taste of his marvelous playing.
Creo y estoy convencido que la danza española es una de las disciplinas.
Well, I'm convinced that Spanish dance is above all one of the most exciting artistic disciplines. And although it may be a cliche, it's true that we're lacking in emotions. And I think the pandemic has helped a great deal in this. It was, of course, a terrible thing, but it helped disinhibit us in showing our emotions. I even find that the audience is much more receptive, that people have realized that certain things are unimportant, and that what matters is to live in the present, that they have to let themselves be emotional. And Spanish dance provides a lot of that. And I think that's very important. Spanish dance and everything around it, the music, the creativity, all of it is accompanied by the emotion that is one of the fundamental traits of our country. We're a country that expresses itself primarily through emotions.
Es un país que se expresa mucho con la emoción. Mucho, mucho, mucho.